We're in lesson 77 in the book of Ephesians, and as we think about the book of Ephesians, it is a book of advanced mystery truths in that how we are to present ourselves living here on this earth, especially in the body of Christ. We're in chapter 5, and we've been down, we've worked for weeks and lessons upon lessons, starting with verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's three evidence we've been looking at about being filled with the Spirit in this passage. And when you speak yourself to yourself, and that's not speaking in tongues, but is speaking yourself, speaking of God, knowing what God is saying. And then you have, and that's with the joyful heart, giving thanks always unto God the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. That's a thankful attitude that we looked at. Everything we give thanks, don't we? We talked about going into a battle, before you go into the battle, having a thankful heart that I've got victory. Being thankful that once you're in a battle and the battle is waging, I'm thankful for the victory. And then we know we're thankful after we come out of issues and problems. We also thank God Almighty. That was tough, Lord. I don't want to do that again. That type of thing. We have a grateful attitude. And then we looked at last time, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. You know, now we study those things. And I have to call your attention back to when we looked at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22, all the way over to chapter 6, verse 9. He deals with the issue of a submissive spirit. And that's what we're going through from here on down for a little bit, how your spirit is submissive. And it's submitting yourself one to another. And he shows the mark of being spiritual filled, and that's an order and a lifestyle of a local church. Now, a local church, you come together, you know, we submit ourselves one to another. You know, sometimes that is hard. You know that? Sometimes, and we're looking at some things, sometimes like, I ain't worried about, it's me, I. I'm not going to, you know, bow down. That's what we think about submission. We're going to bow down and do whatever he said. But that's not true. We do it because God loves us, don't we? And all. So being filled with the Spirit is a thing that demonstrates itself. A spirit control in the lives of members of the body of Christ demonstrates that lifestyle and practical living. You let the Spirit make some decisions. Now, it's not, we may look at it in a little bit, but God the Spirit is not going to, in the middle of the night, you know, I shared that dream with you last week about, you know, I was around a bunch of sheep. You know, like sheep, and there's liver, and there's little bitty sheep, and they, you know, they was lovable and huggable and all that stuff. And, you know, we can sit there and figure out what this is and all that stuff. But the thing is, the Spirit didn't try to tell me anything in that. It might have been the cooking that I ate that day. My stomach was messed up. You ever eat pizza late night? What do they usually do? It keeps you up at night. You got a thirsty mouth. You got to do this, and you're like that. Toss and turn. But look, verse 21. This is where we're at. Submitting yourself one to another in what? In the fear of God. When you really respect and worship God, we will submit one to another. And the word submission is very important in that verse. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto who? The Lord. To submit yourself, it really means, what do you think submit yourself means in this?
Yeah, humbling.
What is that?
Humbling.
Humbling.
Respecting.
Respecting. Anything else? It really means, it's to mean to put yourself under somebody else. When you submit yourself, you know, many of us are submitting ourselves to our work. Our jobs. What are we doing? We're putting ourselves under that person in authority. Sometimes that's hard to do, especially when you know more than he does. You know, you tend to want to, you're elevating yourself like, but you know what? You got to humble yourself and respect yourself and say, you know something? I'm going to do what God told me to do. That's tough, guys. That's very, very tough. If you submit yourself one to another, you take that person And you fight to get underneath that person. When you've got the Spirit of God in you, the right spirit, you don't fight to get yourself on top. I sometimes fight with people that I love to get on top or be equal with them. And then I realize, what gain is that? All I'm doing is beating my chest. You know what I'm talking about? Why don't I submit myself and humble and get under that person? And then if you did the same, what happens? You keep going and everybody's even. They understand who you are. Now, they're always fighting to be underneath if you're really a spirit-filled believer. And the issue of being submission is demonstrated in Philippians chapter 2. Can we turn to Philippians chapter 1 and get chapter 2 also? The book of Philippians is designed as a book to demonstrate the way we walk in God. And you ever heard of the term agape love? Boy, some churches eat that up and just all, agape love, agape. And it's not sloppy agape. It's agape is God's love, what he did for you. And then, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if that ain't love, there's no other greater love. I think there's John 15, something talks about no greater love than a brother lay down his life for a friend, that type of thing. But think about this. Ephesians 5:2 says, he says, and walk in love. We done looked at this one. As Christ, what's that? God told you to go to Philippians chapter 1, but I'm reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. He says, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us. If you want to know what it is to walk in love, you want to know what to walk to Smith with one another, the example is in the book of Philippians. Philippians and Colossians are commentary to the books of Ephesians. Okay? Like Corinthians and Galatians is commentary to the book of Romans. When we went through the book of Romans and we studied it in depth, we also did a lot. We pulled a lot out of Galatians and a lot out of Corinthians, because Romans is a book of doctrine, correct? Corinthians is a book of correction. Their behavior was wrong. So Paul writes the book of Corinthians to correct their behavior to get them in line with the book of Romans. The book of Galatians is a book of correction. What is it?
Law problems.
No, wait a minute. Doctrine reproof. Corinthians is a book of reproof, sorry. The behavior. Galatians is a book of corrections. Their behavior, they was going back under law. Saying Paul was like, I marvel how soon you are removed from them. It's either law or grace. You either walk in the spirit, you walk in the flesh, that type of thing. So he's correcting their behavior. Then you come to the book of Ephesians, as is also a book of doctrine. And it don't have a lot about salvation in there, does it? No. So you've got a book of doctrine about the advanced mystery truth. Paul is telling us about the heavenly position. You're seated in heavenly places and you have everything in heavenly places. Then you have Philippians and Colossians. That's a book of reproof on their mind. They had it in their behavior, but their mind was a little off. So he reproved them. And then Colossians the same way, book of correction. They had a mind of Christ, but they just didn't know how to position it right. So Philippians, a whole book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. Notice it's a mental attitude of what? Love. In what? Knowledge. So if you get the Word of God inside of you, the knowledge, it's going to make a difference on how you work and love and walk, right? It's that mental attitude. It's not an emotion. How many's been tied up on emotions, get so messed up on emotions that you make some bad decisions? I do. Yeah. How many? Yeah. So if you know your mental attitude towards loving somebody, then it's going to make a decision on how you act and treat. You know, sometimes I don't think about that. I'm human just like you are. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not no holier than thou person. So sometimes I can even forget who, what loved me enough to love somebody else, okay? But it is that Greek word agape. Now the book of Ephesians lists illustrations after illustrations about the agape love and about how you choose the things that are not simple, not simply the good or the better, but choose the things that are best. And the book of Philippians demonstrates the maturity saints as then to go on. That's what I said. He reproofed their mindset a little bit, their thinking. He didn't come down on... You ever notice how Paul, when he writes the book of Corinthians, he's coming down on them hard. You are doing things that aren't even named among the Gentiles. You know, you need to stop doing this and doing this. You know how you notice it's just like, whoa. And that's where we get the gospel of Christ out of. That Christ died for us. And you're like, whoa, that's not a model church. You don't want your church model like the book Corinthian church. But the Philippians, they had the walk. And they had to talk, but sometimes their thinking was wrong. So he had to reproof their thinking. And he don't come down on them like he did to Corinthians. So when you teach the book of Philippians and all, the spiritual maturity you've got in the foundation laid in Romans, and you got that structure that we're building in your soul for the book of Ephesians, you got to reach that maturity level of who you are in Christ and let him work in you. Philippians demonstrate the walk, okay? And it's about that sonship, adult sonship, how you walk. And it's not, and so you can walk wrongly or you can walk rightly. And Paul says you mature saints can do what you could do. Wait a minute. You mature saints can do what you could do, not do when you were little children and teenagers. We talk to our children sometimes, you know, when they was child, right? You can't do that. Well, big brother's doing this, is it? He's 6 years older than you are. So when you look at a child, look at a teenager, you don't look at them the same as adult, do you? But you ever notice our children, most of our children in here now are adults, aren't they? Got children of their own. Do you tend to still treat them sometimes like a child? I do. I do. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 2. You choose things that are excellent and things that are greater value. And this is what you need to get. Some examples in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem other better than what? In your what? See, he's reproofing their thinking. They had it going on in their walk, but their thinking was like off a little bit. Verse 3 is submitting yourself one to another. Is that putting yourself under somebody else? It is, isn't it? And that's the issue. When you esteem somebody better than yourself, you're putting yourself under them. Now, I have a problem with putting myself under a lost person. Would you? So he's not talking about, you know, an unsaved person here. He's talking about another brother, another sister, right? You know, we talk about, oh, you got to love that neighbor out there, and you got to love that unsaved person. Yeah, you got to love them enough to give them the gospel. And then if they reject it, you can still love them, but I'm not going... sleep with them. I'm not going to eat with them. You know what I mean? I'm not going to submit myself under them because you know what would happen? Same thing that happened to the nation of Israel. It will mess your mind up thinking that you're doing what God wants you to do when you're not. And he says, verse 4 through 8, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. See, here's another. Mine. which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made him of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and made him in the likeness of man. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You think that's being submissive? Being formed and being obedient? And became obedient to the death of, you better believe it is.
Yeah.
That's the issue, and that is what, that's the illustration. Nothing done through human pride, but rather I understand who I am in Christ. And I understand who I am in Christ, and I understand the desire of value you more than I value myself. Now, many of us are married, and many of us, we should esteem one another, right? Right? We should submit to one another, and we're going to look at some things, okay? And we look at each other differently. We should, right? Sometimes we don't. I mean, we don't. But sometimes we think, submitting ourselves is a wrong thing to do, but it is a good Bible word. And if we understand that and the love of Christ doing it for you, if I submit myself, if I esteem you better than I esteem myself, and you esteem me better than you esteem yourself, we're going to have how many problems you think you're going to have? How many?
Zero.
Now, you're still going to have issues. You're still going to have problems in a way that, it just might not line up. But once you understand that, I have a problem sometimes, I'll be honest with you, about me. What about me? What can't I do this? So-and-so gets to do this, and you mean I have to give up this? That time, and I'm like, and I got to sit down, and I'm quick to talk. If you know me by now, I blow up instead of clam up. I just let it out. And then once Ed's got it out, okay, now it's going to go on. But if you clam up, we talked about this before, clamming up is not too good sometimes, because guess what? You're storing some things up in you, and you're clamming up, and you're clamming up. And then when it does come out, you may blurt out some things like a hurricane or a volcano. It just spews out, and you're like, wow, I didn't think you would like it. I'm like, no, I just had it all in me. I didn't let it out. So, thing is, when you demonstrate that, and you see how the unity of there is in the body of Christ is demonstrated. See, if some of us blew up in here right now amongst the body of Christ for no reason at all, you're like, wow, man, we didn't know what was going on. You know what I mean? So you talk and you abstain of the God is manifested in the life of the local church, the local assembly. Now He's manifested in your own lives. But He also is manifested in the local church. And we've been talking about that in that practical application. Ephesians tells us, let me turn back to Ephesians, that God's purpose in the body is to take His glory and sow it all throughout the universe. That's His plan right now. That's what He's forming. He's not forming the nation of Israel. He's not forming a country. Or a name. He's forming a body that's going to be out and projected out in the universe forever. And that's what He's doing here on earth. And I think sometimes when people don't see God, like they'd said in times past, where's your God at? You believe in a paper God? What do you, that type of thing. And we're like, yeah, I believe by faith. He's working in me. He's working through the local assembly. And that's how He works today. And He's demonstrating all that God's doing today and reconcile the heavenly places through the body of Christ. And that's what the book of Ephesians is about. And we've been looking at that. He demonstrates all of the purpose right now on the planet with the principalities and powers. Now, who are they?
Satan and
they're seeing this going on and the manifold wisdom of God being displayed through the body of Christ. And they're probably thinking, wow, God, you allowing that to happen in that church? Or, you're allowing that? He's allowing the demonstration of love that God has now that's going to be portrayed out in ages to come. He goes through a long list and describes the social order. That's what we're getting ready to look at. And you serve one another in every possible way. And that means you to be submissive yourself one to another. Serving each other in every possible way, everything I can do to serve you. You know, that's what we're here to do, to serve. If you look at the election, not political election, but when the Bible speaks of election, you know what that means? What are they elect to do? But what are they elect to do?
Serve.
To serve. Israel, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The elect of God, you're elect of God. You're elect to serve. To serve and submit yourself under God's authority, and then you work your way down. Now, verse 22 says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. Verse 4 in chapter 6, fathers, provoke not your children. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Verse 9, ye masters, do the same. He expect every one of us, in whatever social situation we're at, to function there as the members of the body of Christ. We put ourselves under some. Let me ask you, how many know what a deacon is?
A helper to the minister of the church body to operate and flow.
Okay, that's a function, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Servant to the preacher.
Or the church. Okay. My early upbringing in the Baptist church, the deacons tend to run the church. And they tend to tell the preacher what to do. And that's not what a deacon does. That preacher is the overseer of that church. He's the bishop of that church. He's the one that leads and guides you. You know, then you have elders and you have deacons, and they're teachers. And the deacons are servants. You know, mowing the grass, would that be a servant? You know what I mean? So they have special things, but in my experience with deacons is just like, oh, we demand a count. And I'm like, we went through some things a long time ago. It wasn't very pleasant. And I'm like, whoa, they're totally out of order. And you know, that type of thing. But look, submit your wives. The key to issue, the key issue passes, no matter who you are, situation, recognize whom you really are in Christ, and to function and live there as Christ would. 5:22 through 24. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and it is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands, and what? A few things.
Everything.
Now, there seem to be two conflicting principles there. First, there's a principle of the mutual submission in verses 21 and 22. Submit yourself one to another, right? We submit ourselves one to another. But there is a principle of authority in verse 23, as the husband is a head, and he is authority over who? I'm not authority over your wife. You probably say, thank God, hallelujah. You know, you are the authority of your life. And I know what 1970s brought, man. 1970s, in that era, it brought some bad things about a husband being authority over a wife. And you know what I'm talking about. But the thing is this. The two principles conflict with one another is a human viewpoint. And when I first came and Sherry and I came in this message 23, 24 years ago, we was brought up under a ministry of a guy that was very authoritative. And he had his wife under submission. It was really bad, wasn't it, Sherry? When we look back at it, because you know what? She was the preacher's wife. And we had young, us being young, we wanted to do what right. And, you know, that she submitted to her husband way beyond some people's belief or what they would believe to see. And even the kids. And today, it's not a good situation today. The family's tore all to pieces. You know, some of them won't even speak to their kids no more. And it's just, it was a bad, if you believe a grace believer, preacher can put somebody under law, you better believe they can. Because not only will they do it to their own self, they do it to the congregation. And Sherry and I came out of that. But the principle is, how can you submit yourself one to another when one of them is the head over the other? You've seen the mutual submission that we just talked about. We submit one to the other. Then you have one over the other. How can you do that?
Must be spiritual matters for submitting over, you know, the head, the body, the man is supposed to be the spiritual leader. So, but general things, submitting one to another.
One another. Okay, go.
She tells you to do.
That's where I'm like, okay, where am I at? Am I supposed to submit to you? Or not? Do I have to wash these dishes today? You know, that type of thing. And just, you know, like, you know, I'll never forget that time Richard and Ted was over at the house and we had some leftover lunch and we was talking and I fixed them lunch and then they just continued talking. I went in the kitchen. I started cleaning up and Richard hollered in there. He goes, you know, you're doing a good thing not leaving those dishes for your wife. You know, I'm like, you know, who am I submitting to? But anyway, it's a mutual thing. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look at this illustration, see if we can get any sense out of it. I'm sure we can, right? We got an open mind, an open heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First. Three, let the husband render unto the wife due bilibience, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband have not power of his own body, but the what? The wife. Do you understand what he's saying there?
Sure.
The husband is to submit to the wife, right? And do the things that God ordained him to do. And the wife is to be submissive to the husband. They are fulfilling their God function, given functions to one another. And when you do that, which God gave you to do, you are being submissive. Aren't you? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, the issue of the husband's leadership, the husband's authority, and when the wife sees and understands the God-ordained certain setup, and she is submissive to his, to this setup, and that God-ordained function to her husband, and that's a position of the husband and wife, she is being submissive. She is serving her husband in a way that God ordained her to serve. And ladies, I know it's hard on you. It probably has been all your life. Some of you, you know, I watch some women, it's just like it's natural to them. And sometimes I can't. You know who Eve was? Eve. Can you go back to chapter 3 in Genesis right quick?
Are we done with Corinthians?
Yes. And go to, hold your finger in Ephesians, though. Do you remember what Mrs. Eve did in the garden? Yeah. Was she being submissive to her husband?
No.
Was she supposed to be?
Yeah.
Was Adam being submissive to his wife?
He didn't say nothing.
He loved her, didn't he?
Yeah.
He wanted. He seen the Spirit of God leave her body, and he's like, "You gave her to me."
They both both go to pass it and complain.
Yeah, yeah.
Brad, yeah. You gave it to me.
Yeah, that's it.
And the East, where it was the state.
Yeah, you know, that was going blame game.
Yeah, it's God's fault. You
yeah.
Can't
yeah, blame game, you know, pointing fingers. How many of us still point fingers? I do. I mean, but look, unto the woman, verse 16. First he said to Satan, you're going to be cursed above all cattle and every beast of the field. Upon thy belly that shall go, and the dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Guys, don't ever forget that verse. That is the gospel of God, and that is preached throughout the Bible. Forever. And that's what God came to do. He sent a redeemer to redeem man's fallen race. And that's what Abraham believed. And that's what everybody in the Old Testament should have believed, the gospel of God, that he was going to send a redeemer. And when he showed up, guess what should happen? There he is. He's going to redeem us, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Many of them believed it, right? But all of them didn't. Then he said unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall what? There ain't too many women like that.
Now this was before women's lived.
Before 1970s, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. But that's in all dispensations, guys. Throughout all dispensation.
Is that on spiritual matters? Or
I believe
it washes the dishes.
Well, that's what I'm that's just the thing. I think you have to determine that. But the thing is, if you want to be peace in your house, sometimes I have to do the dishes. Now, Sherry may agree or disagree. I do the dishes sometimes. You know, when we cook and stuff, I'm like, when I cook, I'm cleaning when I'm cooking.
That comes helping out.
Yeah, helping out. But I still won't do toilets. I'm sorry.
Hello, retard.
Or change diapers.
That's what he
does. Yeah, but you could be the cause of the problem there.
There you go. That's what stops you guys. You know, but anyway, let's move on. But look, the husband is the head of the wife, and his function properly is the position of authority. And the issue of his leadership. In Ephesians chapter, we're back in Ephesians chapter 23. The husband, it's leadership, and the husband and the husband's authority. And the wife sees and understands that God ordained a certain setup. She is submissive to that setup if she's godly. If she's ungodly, then or has a rebellious spirit, she's not going to do anything. But I tell you, it's not like get down on your four legs and bark like a dog. You know what I mean? That's not what I'm saying for a person to do. That's just ignorance. But when you know who you are in Christ and know both situations, there is a headship. There's Christ, then man, then woman, then kids and all that stuff and all the way down. That's what we just read. There's a structure of authority. I've dealt with people for a long time, and some of you just like me, and they are too, we don't like authority sometimes. We don't like to be told what to do. But far as a woman, I haven't met too many women in a relationship that don't want the man to take the lead. I think it's building a woman, say, I want you to lead me. I want you to. But sometimes, if you notice, some of these churches nowadays, they got Pastor Loretta. Or, you know what I'm talking about? What's going on there, guys? They just usurped her authority, and what it is, man's just became too lazy.
Right.
Man's just said, okay, I don't want that responsibility. Well, she can speak good. Yeah, some women can they not? Some women can, I mean, they run circles around me. But should they be running a church?
No.
The Bible says no. Now, you can find a Bible that says they can. But when I see the qualification of a bishop, it says a bishop I must be blameless and married, or a husband of to what? One wife.
Now,
go ahead.
A question there.
Yes.
Now, does that mean that there was there multiple marriages back then that they was in? Because there really wasn't divorce accepted back then, was there?
God granted divorces because of hard.
I didn't know whether exactly where that was at, but what does that mean when you say the husband of one wife?
The one you got now. You know, because Paul says, live the law of the land. The law of the land, if they grant divorces, then that's the law of the land. God allowed divorces because of the hardening of the hearts.
Yeah, but it wasn't to us, though, was it? It was to the Jews, wasn't it?
The Jews, but when Paul...
Wasn't that in times past period when they talked about that?
Well, this situation here, what we're talking about is the fact that this is what is going on now. But what I'm trying to say, without putting a man up here and he's had divorced 15 times, I'm not saying that. The thing is the husband of one wife. She's my one wife. Okay? Then, how can a woman be a...
Husband of one.
She can't.
Nowadays they can.
Yeah, nowadays they are.
Well, see? And then what they do, they find them a Bible. There's a Bible that says out there, a pastor. Now, can a woman be a pastor? Yes, they can. I believe Moses married a pastor. His wife was a pastor sheep. So that's what pastors come from, guys. You can't forget that. That's how you get pastors and shepherds and all that stuff. They're a head of a flock. But a bishop is an overseer. He's over it all. Now, who's the bishop and shepherd of your souls?
Jesus Christ.
So you do have a headship on this. But what I'm getting at is, when women look at this, therefore, let's go back to Ephesians. The husband is head of the wife and his function of property and a position. The issue is leadership and authority. That's the issue. And the key is in verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what? Everything. Now, what is that everything? Is it spiritual? Is it worldly?
It's everything.
Is it? And that's hard. It's hard because when she is submissive to everything, do I gloat and say, ha ha, I got my wife under subjection. She's going to do everything I say. It don't matter, you know, where I want to do, what I want to go. And what if she is?
Well, then that says unto the Lord.
See, I think it comes from shared authority with the man having the final say on it. But you talk it over with your wife and the decision is made because you are, God says you are, but you're taking into consideration her thoughts as well as your own.
That's why you should.
Yes.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And it just comes down to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you can control those, and you're doing the dishes because you know it's going to help, then there's appreciation showing, you know, from her to you as well. So, you know, yep. I mean, it's pretty simple if you can make it work. It ain't too lazy to get off the couch and do some dishes once in a while.
Well, sometimes I hear things like, I wash my dish, you wash yours. And the kids bring it over, and I'm just washing my dish. I didn't make this mess. I'm like, make a whole dishwater. Don't just wash one, make the whole dish. So that's, I'm like, here I am. But like you're saying, if she's who she is in everything, then instead of me beating my chest, I can understand where she's at, and I'm going to what? I'm going to submit. I'm going to bring myself down and say,
yeah, you're right this time.
So yeah, tell me something. So, as a church is subject unto Christ. Okay, he's just saying this. Just saying. As the church is subject unto Christ, just live like a member of the body. Live like the church is subjected to Christ. Are we not subjected to Christ? You're not subjected to me. You're subjected to Christ. And as you... You understand that when a member of the body of Christ, you are subjected to him and you live that way. And when you live and live in your position as a wife, like a member of the body of Christ would live there. I told you this 1,000 times before. I hope my wife don't get upset. She loves the Lord more than she loves me.
I hope so.
And in doing so, she puts up with a lot for me. Yeah. I mean, just living with me is hard.
It is, isn't it?
Lay shitty hands up on that.
Let me ask you this. Dan's a truck driver, a formal truck driver. When you was out on the road by yourself, man, you was just living, wasn't you, a little bit? Just kicking back and reading and, you know, cooking a little bit and stopping here when you want. No aggravation. You know, had everything in the world completely taken care of, didn't you, in your mind? You got out of that truck and you went home and somebody pulled a rug out from under you. I mean, now you have to deal with family. And now you have to deal with, you know, dogs. Now you got to deal with bills. Whatever case may be, it's just like, and it, sometimes it got to you, didn't it? It's just like coming down, pressure. Why are you putting all this on me? Why didn't you take care of this? You've been home all day. You know, that type of thing. You know, so I deal with that sometimes in a way that, okay, I'm on the road. I got to figure out, I'm by myself all the time. But, you know, not all the time. Sometimes I'm training. And sometimes I go to the gym, and I've got a little social life, if you call it social life. I don't know if you can or not, you know. And then my wife, she's at a campground, you know. Right now there's nobody up there. A couple people come in each week looking at sites and stuff. And then when I see her, what should I be thinking about?
Her doing the dishes.
Yeah, why didn't you take the trash? She took out the trash this morning. But anyway, the thing is, like, you know, we would say that, but the thing is no. You know, I need to get out of myself and put her up here and submit to her things, not that I'm going to bow down and bark like a dog. You know, that type of thing. But look, let's move on a little bit.
Before
I get a chain around my neck.
You might get fired.
Yeah, yeah. But look, how would Christ fulfill that? And how would a member of the body of Christ be married, be the, excuse me, let me back up. How would a member of the body of Christ be a wife married to her husband in your situation? How would a member of the body of Christ, and how would Christ fulfill that, what we're talking about here? That Christ be submissive, as Christ is a subject unto the church. And just like a member of the body of Christ, you're submitting yourself to who? Christ. So how in that situation would Christ fulfill that? What does verse 24 say? 5:24, Ephesians. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their, what's that next word?
Own
husbands. That is a living as member of the body of Christ and the position of wife. That's your responsibility. She can't live in the body of Christ under your being your wife. Or wife to another. So, how is the church subject to Christ? Think about this a minute. How is the church, the body of Christ, submitted to Christ? What do we call Christ in the body of Christ?
The head.
The head. And you cannot find that anywhere in the Bible. I challenge those that are listening and those that are here, find that Christ is going to be a head of a body of Christ anywhere in the scriptures outside of Paul.
Well, he is the head.
You can't find it. You can find him being a king of a nation, which technically is what? A head. But you cannot find those terms that we're talking about. That's why it's part of a mystery program. Him being a head of a church, a body, that's unheard of. But anyway, In everything, he is the what? What is that, my big fat Greek wedding? How many saw that show or movie a long time ago? He said, you might be the head.
Man is the head.
The man is the head.
But the woman is the neck.
The woman is the neck. And she moves the head. You know, wherever the head goes, yes, yes. But Christ is the head.
Yes.
You know? And he does our thinking. That's why it's very, very important to understand the book of Romans is doctrine and book of Ephesians is doctrine, and you get the mind of Christ on. And now he's going to be thinking throughout your body. And we're different members, aren't we? Each one of us got different functions all through our own bodies. But look.
Now, what did you say it didn't say in here?
Body of Christ.
You won't find in the Old Testament writings that Christ is a head of a church.
Not in the Old Testament.
No. Only in Paul's writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So people think, well, he's always been a head. No. Mm-mm. You can't find that's part of the mystery program. Because if it had been known, yep. Satan would, you know the scriptures. Now there isn't but one motive that is acceptable, and that's the motive of love. And how did Christ love us?
He died for us.
He died for us, didn't he? That's grace motivation. You know, I'm going to do it because the grace. I'm not doing it because you put me under law. You put me under law to love her, make me do submit to her, I'm going to be a rebellious person. I'm going to find faults. I'm going to point fingers. But if it's grace motivated and vice versa, it's a different motivation than in guys and gals. That is not but one way. The principle of authority and the principle of submission can work together, and that's the issue of love. Verse 25. I'm going to do a few more verses. Husbands, love your what? Come with me to Titus chapter 2 for a second. Titus chapter 2. Timothy, Titus. You know, a lot of people say, see, husbands, love your wives, love your husbands, wife loves your husbands, wife loves your husbands, and all that stuff. But we just read a verse that says, husband loves your wife too, don't you? Mm-hmm. And chapter 2, verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their what?
Children.
Wives love their husband too. God tells you to love your husband. And that's the way you submit yourself, is like the church is submissive to Christ. It is to love him. It is grateful for those who love and respond and with that grateful attitude. I know there's no greater feeling that when if you're married and your wife loves you to a husband. And sometimes we take it for granted, guys. We really do. You know, we assume that everything's all hunky-dory and everything, but sometimes they have issues too. Sometimes their life, you know, they have issues too. But look, do you know what it means to give yourself away?
You're submitting yourself when you do that. I mean,
you remember what Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is?
Mm-hmm.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Sure, you can quote that.
Galatians.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I think the next verse is Dan's favorite verse.
Yeah.
Verse 21. The exchange life. You're exchanging your life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You're exchanging your life for his life. She's exchanging her life for your life. You're exchanging your life for her life. You with me? It's an exchange. And as long as you can, you can't do it. There's many times, I want to do this. I want to. I can't do it, guys. But in Christ in you, who can? Who does make the difference? Christ. In everything we do, work, play, whatever, ventures, going everywhere, Christ in you makes a difference. Let me tell you a story right quick. We do meal delivery services, okay? And I get 3 meals a week, and Sherry gets 3 meals a week. Well, I get mine on Wednesday, she gets her on Wednesdays. There's 3 meals that come, everything's in there. All you do is pop it out, turn your oven on, get your cutting board, knife, whatever, chop, 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 chop. Within 30, 40, 50 minutes, you got a meal. Nice meal, calories if you worry about it, you can, whatever. Well, Wednesday it came, opened up the box, there was an ice pack on top. Now, you remember how cold it was? Wednesday, Thursday, or how cold it has been. And they put two packs, ice packs on the bottom, put their meat, then a little divider, then you got 3 bags of vegetables or whatever the fixing is, and then they put the thing on. Well, this came with 3 ice packs. And I looked at the bags, and the green beans was frosted, and the zucchini was frosted, you know. So I put it in there, and then it never has failed since I've been doing this. The meal that you really want and excited to cook, you pull it out, there's something wrong with it. That squash was frozen. I cut the zucchini and it was frosted in there. And I'm like, so I got them online and I called Sherry. I was going to talk to Sherry because, you know, Sherry's a pretty good cook as far as knowledgeable, saying, can I cook a frozen zucchini? You know, I want to know. Green beans, okay, you can thaw them out. And so about that time, that man come on board and I told him what has happened. He goes, without a question, I'm going to credit you $29 and, or charge me $29 off a $59 meal. He's cutting what? $30. Without question. You know what this old flesh said? It's coming out of Chicago, right? That's what he said, yes, sir. I said, I could see putting 3 ice packs if it's coming out of California. And then I said, thank you. And my wife, you know, bless her heart, she said, you was really mean to that guy. He did not question you at all. He would put, you know what I mean? But I'm like, because a week before that, it came with 1 ice pack, which was okay because it's 0 degrees. So I know, like, where am I going with this? What I'm saying is, Christ and me wasn't doing it. It was me. Even though they made it right, I still had to throw that little jab in at them. That's flesh, guys. And I've got to beat that down. Sometimes it's hard. Because you know why? We always want to come back with something guys do. You know who is just as bad? Women.
Absolutely.
And when you pick at each other, you know, even though it's just, you know, you ain't seen each other and you're picking each other or whatever the case may be, that can blow up. Because who wants to get the last word in? He's pointing at her. You know? But you know what? I got to calm down and let Christ in you do it. But when it is his life, then it's the difference. And if you see what we're talking about, we are talking about the principal application of being controlled by God the Spirit. And when God the Holy Spirit is controlling us, not you know, making every move, every decision, we can talk about that next week. But the thing is who's inside of me and how am I going to submit one to another? Father, once again, we thank you for today. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any